Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this fellowship that we have during the week. It's been a good time for me, and hopefully for everybody else too. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, gives us that overcoming power to walk this sanctified walk that you want us to walk, Lord. And Father, I thank you for helping us all to walk in the way that you would have us to walk. I know that as long as we're doing everything that we know to do, that we're completely sanctified in your eyes. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy upon all of us. And I ask, Lord, that you place that love in every one of our hearts, that the love of God would be in our hearts to the extent that even our enemies, we just love them and run to them and offer them Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night because you're going to be leading and guiding us, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you for anointing everybody here with the anointing that breaks the bondages. It breaks the chains off of people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power. Praise you, Father, for an open heaven tonight. And thank you, Lord, that you've already taken care of the communications through Julie's prayers. We don't have to worry about losing anybody tonight or having any kind of bad video or audio problems in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, because glory to God. It all goes to you, Lord. It's all about you and not about us. We couldn't even pray the prayer of faith without the faith that you've given us, Lord. Gosh, it's so awesome to be under a God that loves us so much that he gives us everything that we need to walk this walk and to talk the talk, to walk the talk that you've given us. A lot of times, Lord, there's a lot of talking going on, but not a whole lot of walking. And you're looking for walkers that back up the talk, because that's what glorifies you the most. And thank you for bringing that to the forefront here shortly. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Uh-oh, got three people in the waiting room here. Dragging their feet coming in here. Okay. Let's see here. Does anybody have a prayer request? Yeah. Go ahead, Theo or Lana.
Oh, it's actually a praise report.
Okay, good.
I just came back from visiting Dad, Mom and Dad, and Dad was in the kitchen munching away on stuff, and he's looking a lot better, much, much better than last time I seen him. So thank you, Lord, for that.
Praise God.
Amen.
What is that we're supposed to say? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That all goes to you, Lord.
Glory to God. God.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Debbie.
My sister asked for prayer for their son-in-law. Sorry. Their son-in-law who has cancer. Leukemia, and he's starting, what's it called?
Chemo.
I don't know what kind of chemo, like pills, or if he's going in for treatments of it or what, but Maybe he's going in, because she said that when he gets home for many weeks, he has to be, he can't have close contact with his family. That's another hardship on top of just having this. So I'm trying to pray for him, for God to bring healing and for him closest to his family. So.
Is he a Christian?
I don't think so. I don't think either one of them are. So, Lord, we do pray that you would use this, God, to use this, God, to draw them to you, Lord. I just pray that you would give joy and art the words to speak to him, Lord. I just pray that you would move upon them by your Spirit, Lord, and share with them the good news, Lord, that they are learning. And God, I just pray that you would just draw them to yourself, Lord, and grant him and his family repentance, Lord. And we pray you grant him healing of his body from this cancer, Lord, and restore the closest to his family, Father. We just pray that you be glorified in all of this, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you will. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him in. Lord, we just ask that the Lord of the harvest would send somebody there to come listen to him, bring him into the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Y'all believe it? I believe it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I got a praise report. Man, I woke up yesterday morning, and I told this last night at the fellowship, but I woke up yesterday morning, and I had a pain in my back, in my left lower side there, and I think I pulled a muscle or something. And I went downstairs, and I said, David, probably should be right quick. So he did, and I believed, and I walked over to the sink and like to fell out. Damn, the pain hit me so bad. That demon was trying his best to get his hand on me. And I said, well, I'll show you. And I've done it before, so I did it again. I just got up, walked outside on the porch. Now I'm talking, it's still dark outside. I walked out on the porch. We got a deck that wraps around. And walked around and around that thing, praising God and praising God and praising God. And it just went away. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God on the high. That's walking it out. And I knew I had to walk it out. Didn't make any difference how much pain I was in. I still had to walk it out. And I was in some pain, but I knew I had to walk it out. And it got less and less and less and less. And finally, it's gone. You know? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I have a similar testimony. I was attacked with pain in my joints yesterday, and in my knees. It was really bad. Kind of like you, where I had trouble walking. But I continued to do what I was planning to do yesterday, and kept walking it out and rebuking the pain and confessing the Lord and praising Jesus and it was a trial of just walking it out. I went to bed and it started lessening, and I woke up this morning and it was gone. But as soon as I got up to start, walking around, it started coming right back, and I rebuked it again and just was resting in the Lord and praising God, and it hasn't come back. So praise Jesus. It is a matter of not letting it control your thoughts and your mind. And I knew I was limited in what I could do, but I kept doing it anyway and kept trying to ignore it and just casting it down and standing in faith and just reminding the enemy he's defeated and he has no legal right and he has to go and he has to go and he has to go. And every time he has to go. So praise the Lord. He is faithful.
Amen. He's faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Praise God forevermore. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, I want to pray for our daughter, Gloria. She's our youngest daughter. Her and Beulah came from Colorado a few weeks back and a month ago or so, and they met everyone. So it was really, they really were blessed. And while Gloria was here, she really confided in us. She brought it up. See how she's very, everything seems to go wrong for her. She's troubled, kind of, you know, anxious. She's all kind of like no contentment, you know, negativity. Everything's negative, 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 she said. And while she's in Colorado, she's living with someone. They're not married. And the situation, and they have a large home that's got four bedrooms upstairs, downstairs. And it's easy to divide the home the way it is. And so Gloria and John live downstairs where Beulah and Andy, and they're both believers, they live upstairs. But they're not baptized in the Spirit, and they're not, I don't think they're, it's need to draw closer, Beulah and Andy. But anyway, for Gloria, so, but we told her that she's not, probably God's not going to give her any peace and rest, and if she's staying in a situation, she's living with someone in fornication, really, and she's not, you know, there's all, she got all these things going against her. And we talked to her yesterday. We talked to her a little bit, and then John, her boyfriend, got on the phone, and he's all excited that he works in the insurance industry, going in like after storms, or sometimes just going for inspecting houses that need some damage, you know, that have been damaged. For roofing and other, he's just starting.
He's an insurance adjuster.
Yeah, he goes and looks at the place, the inspection, writes it all up, sends it in, and they make pretty good money at it. But it's there's times when there's not any work, and there's other times when they're, you know, they travel to where after a storm was or something, and there's a lot of work, they make a lot of money in a short period of time. But anyway, so he's all excited about the new business, and he even once mentioned about having Gloria help him in it, you know, teaching her once he gets established, teaching her and have her work with him as well. But that would make her even more unequally yoked. So being unequally yoked and then, you know, living in the fornication, she knows it's, but she knew Gloria. She's just a very timid, and she's not one that was going to, you know, stir up any ways, but she knows that it's wrong, you know. So we're hoping that God, you know, God's going to have to do something, because she can't do it. We can see that. She just can't, you know. They've been living together for 5 years, and, you know, she said she loves John, but she knows that her life is wrong with the Lord by being in this kind of situation. So we're praying for God to really intervene in the, you know, she should break off the relationship, or definitely they can't live together as man and wife, you know. And but so anyway, she's in a tough spot, but God's going to have to really help her. So God, we pray for Gloria. God, we pray that you would continue to bring conviction upon her, let her know that it's you trying to get her attention, Father. We pray that you would give her faith to believe you, that you would give her hope, see the hope in the gospel, and faith to believe it, and the grace, God, the ability to obey. We pray you would give her the ability to obey you. And we pray that this would come up in their relationship. Now, we pray for John's salvation. We just, it seems to be the simplest answer, he would get saved, but we don't know that that's your plan for their life. So we just lift Gloria up to you, and John up to you, both of them, Father. Just move mightily. And God, we just thank you. We trust you're going to hear our prayers. And before this goes on and on and on, get God that something would be brought to a head quickly, Lord. Yeah, trust you to do that, Lord. Just send your Holy Spirit. Do a mighty work. Just thank you, Father. We're just receiving it. We're receiving it for Gloria. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We just believe it, Lord. We thank you for changing John and Gloria. Whatever you want, Lord, we know that you're going to do it. you're going to change this situation around to where it's they are in your will, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Whether you split them up or whether you put them together, we ask that you do that. Bring them into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to both of them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to pray, if I could, for them. Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the enemy over this situation in the name of Jesus. And I bind up spirit of fornication, and I break soul ties in the name of Jesus between these two, that they can, especially Gloria, do what is right in the name of Jesus, to be obedient to you, Lord. And you do, Lord, whatever you want with them. We do pray that John does get saved, but Lord, but if it be your will that they stay together, but we break the soul ties, the unholy soul ties, Lord. These unholy soul ties, we break them in the name of Jesus, so that this become a proper relationship or completely be dissolved, Lord. And we thank you for doing your perfect will in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, go ahead, Connie.
Yeah, I've got the praise the Lord this afternoon. This afternoon, yeah. Claire and I, we went out to eat. And when we got up, I couldn't walk. I had a pain in between where your leg bends. And I just sat down. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I've never had a pain in my life like this. And I can't move. And we just started praying. All of a sudden, I said, Lord, I can't walk out like this because I can't walk. And I was healed instantly. The pain completely went away. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory
thank
to
you,
God.
Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Amen. All right. That's a good one, too. God is so good. He is so awesome. Amen. All right. Anyone else? It looks like we got a bunch of praise reports tonight. Glory to God. Amen.
Well, I'd like to pray for my daughter. I've been having problems. I mean, her husband is, I guess you could say he's been in a wheelchair, so they don't have a really good relationship. They haven't had a good relationship for years. And she's been on the phone with this man she backed away from him, and then she went back on the phone with him, and it's just not good that she's doing that. That's wrong. And they're having, she might lose, if she doesn't take care of situations there at the house, she might lose the house. So, Lord, I just lift up Tanya to you and Bernie to you and even Willie, because he's there at times. I lift them up to you, and I pray, Father God, that you reveal to Willie and reveal to Tanya what they need to do to get rid of any demons there and that are trying to use her and use Bernie against each other and against all the situations, financial situations. Lord, I just pray you take care of all these matters, but that Tanya would return to you, that she would just recognize her need to follow your word, what your truth is, and not be moved by her flesh, but be moved by your spirit, and that Willie will be able to help to pray and bring her to where she needs to be in you, and that it would not cause him to back away, but that he would be able to help it out with that situation with the house. And let whatever you desire, Lord, I pray that you would work on it, whether you want them to keep the house or to be sold or whatever. Lord, just take care of that matter too, but bring them all to you. Bring even Bernie to you, Lord. Bring them all to you to follow you and be obedient to you. Lord, break the power of all those evil spirits that are trying to destroy their lives. I command them to go from that house in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that you would help them to get the word in their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Was the husband, is he some kind of, was he in a wreck or something?
No, he's had heart condition for quite a while.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Any of them Christian, any of them at all running out to the Lord?
Willie is to some extent. He's okay. He's kind of, you know, being in that house where, I mean, Bernie, I don't even know if he says he is safe, but he's not walking. He's not walking there. And Tanya's not walking there, but I think Willie's there to help her with the house situation. And I don't want the enemy to use him against himself, being he's there where those demons are. And so, Lord, I just pray you strengthen him. And Lord, even if you want to bring him down here, Lord, he's talked about coming down here. And I just pray you if you want him to come down here, that you will make a way for him to be here in the name of Jesus, according to your will.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, and also my sister Nancy, she had some lightning hit her wiring, her pole or something, where her house, inside of her house, some of the electric is no good, you know, because the light, it burned the wires out. And she, most of the wires that were burned out were in her bedroom. And she was in bed when it happened, and there was no harm to her or her dog when they were in bed. She has a brass bed, and it could have affected that bed, but it didn't. She didn't get hurt or anything. But she now she noticed that for some reason she doesn't understand, and I don't think it has to do with electric, with that lightning, but she says that her phone, she's not able to only get one bar on her phone. And she can't send out messages very much, so she don't know what that's about. But she's concerned about it, and she's gonna pray about the situation. Whether, you know, maybe she just needs to get away for a little bit. I said, why don't you come down and visit here if you want? So I told her, pray about it and see what the Lord says. You know, so she says, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Get away from here.
Amen.
But she has to have repairs done on the house because of that, you know. She lives alone. She's a widow, and so, and she loves the Lord. She needs to get baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit. So, but see, she really does love the Lord. And I give her messages. I give her messages from you and David, you know, that you make, and she listens to them. So.
Amen.
He's there for the Lord. She wants to be there for the Lord. So if he wants her to move, Lord, I just pray you bring her down here to visit and see what she would see what you want her to do. Work it out with her, Lord, whatever it is that you want for her. But help her to follow after you and be led by your Spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. What you got, Judy? Okay. Okie dokie. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer report, a prayer request, or a praise report, or a testimony? I got a praise report. I mean, I don't know what you, I got a praise. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's my praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many of you love the Lord? You better raise them hands. My gracious sakes alive. Megan raised her hand too. Amen, Megan. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Larry's raising his own nasty foot. I wonder where all that funk was coming through that thing. My goodness, boy. All right. What was we going to do tonight? Now, did everybody get the message about communion Thursday night? Okay, good deal. We're going to have communion Thursday night, and we're just going to discuss it and do it within 45 minutes, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, within 45 minutes. We should be able to do that. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to share something that goes along with what you said, Michael, earlier, which you started out with fairly early about saying about talking the talk and walking the walk. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's had that on my mind too. And and it relates to something that I've had on my heart. And so I asked the Lord for a word, and he gave me that in Ezekiel 9, about the man with in linen with the ink horn, and landed on the very last verse. And he said to the Lord, the man with the ink horn, because he was marking people with the mark of God. And he said to the Lord, to God, I've done all that you've asked me to. Because he's, you know, that represents what he was going and doing, was representing a separation. Anyway, so that's one word that he gave me, and I was just like, wow. And then I asked the Lord for another word concerning what's been in my heart related to all this. Then he gave me, which relates to your testimony, Michael, about walking around and praising the Lord, and Julie's testimony about praising the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. He's like speaking so loud and clear right now with these verses. And this is what he gave me. 2 Chronicles verse 21. And I landed on the part, this is right where I landed, and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endures forever. But let me go back read
the context. 2 Chronicles 20 and 21 verse
1. 20:21, but I'm going to read verse 20 through 23. And you all know right away what this is, I think. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and give praise in holy array as they went out before the army, and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, Jehovah set lairs in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. You know, the Lord has so deeply impressed me with the very thing that you spoke of, Michael, and Julie spoke of. You know, the Lord showed me that when you are ask the Lord for something, believe you have received, and don't continue to ask. You don't even need to continue to fight the enemy. All you need to do is praise and thank the Lord that you have received. And the enemy is defeated. The enemy can't do anything with our praises and thanksgiving. He can't. That defeats the enemy quicker than anything. Giving glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. I'm just like, it just baffles my mind. And one of the things that came to my mind too was that in Revelation, let me see or find it. Revelation 21:8. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, and it's just the Lord's just even impressing me that, you know, when you're praying for someone too, you know, not just for, you know, sometimes we apply it so much to ourselves, but even when you're praying and believing for someone else too, you prayed and you believe and you stand and you praise him and thank him for doing what you've asked him to do, you know, on behalf of that person. Or persons or whatever, you know, you just stand and you praise him and thank him for doing it. You know, don't keep asking him.
Just amen.
Believe.
Reason I prayed that, we got a word today from the Lord, straight from the throne. I'm separating those who talk the talk from those who walk the walk. I'll say it again. I'm separating those who talk the talk from those who walk the walk. So, Lord, help us to walk your walk. Where the rubber meets the road, Lord. Thank you, Father, for helping us all to do that. When your word says to do it, that we do it without stumbling, without going to somebody else and say, pray for me, go over here and get somebody else over here to pray for me, when in fact, you can pray yourself. Then no help. It's okay to have somebody help you pray the first time, but from that time on, Lord, we know we're supposed to praise you and thank you that it's done. Thank you, Father, for doing that in each one of us. Let us all walk the walk, Lord. Let us all walk the talk that we've had before. And Father, I just ask that you would place it in everybody's heart to trust you implicitly. Because you are more solid than any doctor out there or any man-made thing. because if we trust you, there's sure, we are sure to get our prayers answered by you, Lord. We may have to go to a trial, that's okay, but we know at the end of that trial, it's done. Thank you, Father, for doing that for each one of us. And then again, we might not. This depends, you know. But we know in our hearts, deep down in our spirit, Lord, place it deep down in our spirit, that when we pray, we know that we know that we know that our prayers have been answered. And sometimes, Lord, we know that that enemy comes back and he tries to get us to acquiesce to him. But give us the fortitude and the trust factor in you, Lord, to run him back off again. Nope, you gone. We pray you can't come in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. So we just give you all the glory, Lord, because you're the one that's going to get it in the days ahead. It ain't going to be any man that gets the glory. It's going to be you, Lord. And I just praise you for bringing us into that point, Lord, where we know that we can trust you to answer every one of our prayers. I mean, if we prayed for our children, ain't no use praying 1,500, 300 times for those kids. I've done it in the past, but I've just finally figured out that, hey, you do it one time, forget about it, let God do his work. And Lord, I thank you for putting that in me. I just believe it, Lord. I just believe you. When you told me that if I would pray the prayer of faith and I believe what I pray, it's going to happen. And that's the way we all ought to be. And Father, I thank you for doing that, placing that in each one of us. We don't have to fret about it. We don't have to get on the phone and get after them about anything. We just sit back and watch God work. And Father, we thank you for it. And same thing with healing, Lord. I know that when something happens to us, first thing we want to get is relief. We got that McDonald attitude. We want a prayer that'll get it done right now. But sometimes you're working stuff out of us. It's a test of our faith to see if we're going to endure in our faith. Or are we going to run back to Egypt? Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for placing each one of us to walk that narrow road that you want us on. And I don't just say this lightly, Lord. I know that in the past I have failed miserably. And I repent of that. And I'm asking you to forgive me of that. But I'm here, Lord, and I know that if you fill me, if I ask you to fill me up with the Holy Spirit every morning with that overcoming power that you're going to do it, and we'll walk that walk with you, Lord, on that narrow path in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Anybody else want to pray? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Father, Esther asked, I believe it was three times, you know, King Ahasuerus, and he told her three times, you know, she said, if I have your, I forget, approval or something like that. I forget how she said it. He said, he told her, ask anything up to half the kingdom, Lord. Lord, she represents the bride, and I believe everybody here, and many, they're going to listen to this, Lord, are striving, believing that we're all going to be in the bride. So, Lord, help us to know that we have an open heaven and that you put in our hearts, Lord. If we delight in you, Lord, you give us the desires of our heart because the desires of our heart are the desires of your heart, Lord. It's which your will is, Lord. And we thank you for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And that what we ask for, we don't ask for out of our pleasures and out of, you know, pleasures of the flesh or the things of this world, Lord, but that you put in us what to ask for. And Lord, and instill in us to with a strong faith, knowing, Lord, that what we ask, Lord, is your will, Lord, and that you will give it up to half the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any questions about walking this faith walk that he's got us on? You know, I feel like that God, and I know he does, because that's what he says in his word, I feel like that God doesn't want just a little portion of us. He wants us all. He wants us all. He doesn't want something to hinder our walk. If there's something that takes away your time and my time away from the Lord, then get rid of it. Get rid of it. What's more important? Let me put it this way. If we're not in tune with the Lord, everybody that we've been praying for is dependent upon us, spiritually speaking. They're dependent on us to pray for them, and we have to be right to pray for them. If you're not right, what's going to happen? Poof, there they go. We're responsible. We should be responsible enough to believe what the Word of God says, because too many people's lives and spiritual lives depend on us to walk this walk. It could be thousands, because if you are believing for somebody like a Saul or a Paul, a Saul that made into a Paul, he affects thousands, millions of lives. You don't know, you know. So that's why it's incumbent upon us to trust the Lord in everything that we do, in our prayer life especially. And I know you intercessors know that's a fact. And anyway, he's separating the talkers from the walkers. Yeah, go ahead, Theo, Alana.
I wanted to ask for prayer for a cousin of mine. She lives in Ukraine. She's married with three really young children. And they basically live in just slightly probably above poverty level. And I recently found out why, because it's been ongoing for years. Her husband travels to Germany to earn a living, and he's gone for up to 9 months at a time. Turns out what they had done is taken on a huge loan back early in their marriage to start a business of their own. I think it was hazelnut farming or something like that. And at the time, the dollar to hryvnia was about 8 hryvnia to a dollar. That's tripled with inflation. And so even though, so I understand they took out the loan in dollars, and so with inflation, they still owe the same amount of money, or the tripled amount of money instead of what they originally took out, because it's dollars. And so it's been a huge burden to them. She doesn't say much. She doesn't ask for much. But I want to help her out. And I think with such a large amount of money sitting on their shoulders, the best I can do is pray for them, because no matter how much I send over there, it's a drop in the bucket. And so I'd like to ask Michael, if you could pray for them, that the Lord take care of this burden for them, and bring this family together to be able to the dad be in the home and mom can lighten her load, because it's really rough on her. She's a tiny little thing with frail health, but she never complains, praises God, and my heart goes out to her.
Okay. One thing, if you have a close relationship with them, you might ask them to repent of the loan, taking a loan out, because of what the Word says. And once they do that, miracles happen.
I can do that. So,
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus. What's her name again?
Her name is Tanya. And his name is Ruslan.
How much?
It's Ruslan. His name. Her husband's name is, you can just say Russ.
Okay, Russ. That's better for me, being from Arkansas. Okay, thank you, Father. Lord, we lift up Tanya and Russ to you. Lord, you know the situation. We thank you for it, Father. You said if we pray and we believe that we have received, we shall have it. I'm going to believe that we're going to get this prayer answered. And just as soon as they repent, Lord, I know that you're going to find a way to get rid of this loan. In the name of Jesus right now, we break the power of the bankers off of Tanya and Russ, this power of debt off of Tanya and Russ in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for taking care of that, eliminating this debt and putting this family back in the glory of God, that they don't do this anymore, that they just run after you, Lord, because if they run after you with all their heart, everything else will fall into place. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for doing that for Tanya and Russ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you do a quick work here to bring this young family out of this deep, dark crevice that they're in. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory too. And they're going to tell everybody around them, don't get in debt. Just trust God to get you where you need to be. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for what you're doing right now on Russ and Tanya in their life and their family in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. That's been done numerous times, Lana.
I believe it, and I'm believing it.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Julie.
I'd just like to add to that prayer. And Father, I thank you that this prayer is answered for us, Lord. And I know that having a huge financial burden like that, it takes a lot of toll on our health. And Lana, you mentioned that she has a lot of health problems, and I know what worry and anxiety and stress and fear has a just an awful effect on our physical and emotional and spiritual being. So we just command all those spirits of worry, fear, and anxiety and doubt and unbelief and all this stress of this burden to be lifted off of their shoulders, and that they would feel it, Lord, and they would have healing to their bones and healing to their organs and healing to their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you move in a powerful way and draw them all very close to you, and that they would turn and just surrender all of this to you, Father, knowing that you're going to take care of it. I thank you, Father, for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for as soon as you take care of releasing joy into that household in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Dave, what's up? Jesus.
Yeah, it's kind of the same line with you guys about, you know, I was listening to I Never Knew You today. And that's kind of following into that, because I needed something that was going to get me and answer some of those questions and about Christianity in particular. What is it, you know, as far as not to give it a definition as far as who's actually going to be in heaven? I mean, who is it? Is it a Christian? What is it? Because you have a lot of people that are Christians. But what is it that separates, that makes that separation from the elect, from the just the called And that comes down to some really basic things. And it's like, and also you got the five and 10, the 10 versions, five were wise, five were foolish. Where is it? What's going on there? You've got, David talks about also at the beginning of the book of Revelation, you have a third of the stars are pulled down from the heaven, which represents Christians, threefold Christians. What's going on with this, you know? So where is this danger coming from? Why are these people not coming into heaven? Basically, they're going to be lost. They're going to be either not reprobated yet, but they're going to fall away. So what's causing that? Where is this problem? And the problem is comes down to one, obedience. You know, because that's one of the things, you know, that God knows that you love him is when you keep his commandments, of course. And that doesn't come down in a legalistic point of way. That's not what we're doing here. We're going by faith in order to obey. Because that's the other thing. You have to have faith. You have to trust God that he's going to work in you to will and do his good pleasure. And that's something that's lacking. One, they're not going to be obedient. They may have Christ's spirit. That's the point. There's a lot of Christians out there that will have Christ's spirit, but it doesn't mean they're saved because they're not necessarily being obedient. They're not necessarily, like we talked, walking the walk. They're still doing their own thing. They're believing that, well, it's all under the blood, and so I can still be a Christian and still do some of the things that I'm doing in my carnal life, and it's okay. And God's going to look the other way. Well, initially when you come into the kingdom, that may be okay because he's very forgiving. But over time, that covering has to become a cleansing where you're no longer walking the old walk and you're walking as Christ walked. So what's a Christian going to be? A Christian's going to look like Jesus. A Christian is going to walk the walk, the true Christ-like Christian. And you're going to do that by faith. And the other thing is you're going to have God's spirit in you also. So you're going to need that former rain. And you definitely are going to need the former rain, because without that, you don't have God's spirit in you working the will and do your good pleasure either. You can have Christ's spirit, a renewed spirit, but you need God's spirit to have that, start having that power to walk the walk. So, and even that still doesn't guarantee it, because you still have to be faithful. You have to be walk the walk. You have to be repentant. You have to be willing to change and let the word change you so that you're going to be transformed into that image of Christ. Because if you start still being somewhat negligent as far as the repentance goes, when God's talking to you about whatever it is you need to change and you're still resistant. Not that I'm saying that, for instance, if you have a sin you're trying to overcome and you are against the sin, of course, we know that God's on your side. You just have to have faith that it's done and believe those things. Believe that your sins are forgiven. Believe it's on a cross. Believe the reconciliation happened. We have to go for all those things that make us in the image of Christ and put it forth in our life, and it's all going to be done by faith. The person, the Christians out there that don't know this and aren't walking and going after that are the ones that are probably going to fall away. They're the ones that aren't going to make it because they aren't putting that Christ in you, the hope of glory. They aren't putting that mind imagination thing where they're seeing it in the mirror. I mean, because we can all be Christians and Christ-like, but we all don't look alike. It's definitely not a physical thing. It's not something you see yourself in a mirror. It's something you see is happening in your mind's eye. And you have to picture that by faith. And then you start becoming that image of Christ. Then you start believing for those things that are happening. Because if you're going to be looking for the physical, you're going to miss it. It's not. It's something that's very, it's a spiritual kingdom. You can't see the spiritual kingdom. You got to see it in your mind's eye. You got to believe for it that way. And so it's that's the faith we're going to be working on. This is just kind of a intro where I'm going on some of this stuff to understand it. So understand why the people fall away. It's because, well, they may have became Christian. They may have took on Christ's spirit, but that's not enough. Then you have to get in the word, then you have to let it transform you. Then you have to get God's spirit, and you got to have to walk in faith and obedience, and then let him work in you what he needs to work in you, and trust. And that's what's going to happen when things start shaking in this tribulation time. It's going to shake loose everything that's not trying to walk and cling and hold to Christ and become as Christ. That's the shaking that's going to happen. It's a shake loose all of that. So anyways, that's, yeah, so I thought I'd just share.
Amen. Well, what's the gospel? He said, it's the power, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believes. You have to be a believer. Well, what's a believer? Well, you believe whatever the Lord tells you in the Word of God. It's got to go into here, down to your spirit. We can have, and David talks about this in a number of his deals. He said, you can have mind knowledge of the Word of God, but if you don't have it in your spirit, it's not going to do you any good. And the way you get it in your spirit is to meditate on those words and to act it and walk it out like he wants us to. Simple gospel. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his what? Riches in glory. Now he's got some glory and he's got some riches. You know what I'm saying? I see in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you don't have benefits. So we have to, like Dave was talking about, you have to be in Christ Jesus. That's the word. Amen.
Anybody hey, want to? That's the only ahead. Person that's going to heaven is Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. The only one's going to heaven is Jesus. I ain't going. Jesus, me, is going. I'm gonna be on my way. Yeah, Benny, go ahead, brother.
Dave, why don't you expand a little bit more on the covering and then the cleansing?
Okay.
Something I'm looking at now too.
I think that's under called elect and predestined too, right? Covering and cleansing a little bit and
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, those two, that's covered a little bit in case.
Salvation, instant progressive. I know it's in there.
Salvation, instant progressive.
It's in perfection. It's also in perfection.
Yeah.
Christ, perfection through Christ.
Well, initially when you become a Christian and you start following after Jesus, I mean, we're talking about those that have been called, okay, into the kingdom. God does give you a covering. I mean, you are covered by the blood of Christ. That's all he sees is Jesus. I mean, all your sins, he does not see at all. He does not. They're washed away. And we always have that. But the farther we go in our progression in a walk and the more mature we become in Christ, the maturity level of Christ that we have. What I mean by maturity, the more you are putting on Christ and putting off the flesh, the more you're walking in the light that God gives you to walk in, the more that light you got, the more you're walking in, and the more mature you become, you're going to need less of that covering, because what happens is more and more of your life is starting to become an image of Jesus Christ. The carnal man is being put to death, or is you by faith he's already dead, but we're still seeing a progression in our walk. Our progression is Christ-likeness, becoming more the image of Jesus. The more the image of Jesus you put on, the less of the covering you have, because you have more of that cleansing, that the Word of God is actually doing that work in you. and now you're walking as Christ walked. You're becoming as Jesus is. You're getting the mind of Christ. So that covering then becomes the cleansing, the same blood. And then it's actually what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for that outcome that in your life where it's not so much the covering that you need because he's already got that. It's the cleansing. You've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you're walking now as Christ. You're looking like Christ. He's that doing that work that he started out in you is being done, and he's seeing that final product, which is Jesus Christ in you. So that's the progression we have. Now, wherever anybody's in that progression, God's still there. He's the whole time. He's never backed off. He's still, you're still in the, in as far as he sees you as Christ. He sees you as perfected. He sees all that final product about you. But also in that, there is that progression that's still happening. And God also is working with that in us. So it's a two-fold process. You have it all at once, but you still have a progression part that he's still working out in us as long as we're in this walk until we finally enter into the kingdom. So that's the best way I can explain it. I don't know if somebody else has some more they want to add into that or work into there.
Yeah, Benny.
Yeah, I've been looking at that as well. In the same area, and as far as what, how I understand it is after we're saved, you know, that you still may be prone to sin some because you haven't learned how to deal with it and get the victory, and so you're committing acts of sin, and there the covering takes care of those acts of sin. As we confess them, we're forgiven. And what I'm saying that the cleansing takes care of the sin nature itself, very sin nature within us that makes us prone to sin. God cleanses us from that so that we know we have the nature of Christ replaces that. So then that's how we can walk with God and be as Jesus by walking because he cleanses that sin nature. But but until that, because, you know, what if you're a believer and you're living kind of under the covering and you're used to asking forgiveness, but you still have a sin habit and you don't deal with it and you don't deal with it. And 5 years goes by and you don't deal with it. And you're 10 years, 40 years walking with the Lord, but you're still always, you're always living in sin, you know, and so you're trusting in that covering. You're trusting in God's mercy to forgive you for your sins. But you never really get cleansed to the point where then you can overcome sin. In other words, a sin nature was never, we have to believe, trust God to forgive us for the very nature, the very sin nature itself, to put it to death, you know, to cleanse it. That when God cleanses, it's cleansed, you know, it's, he washes it. And so that's what I'm catching right now, so.
Yeah, David, in that book, if I'm not mistaken, he says the covering is just a meantime thing. It's just a temporary thing because God wants to get to the root of the sin and eliminate it, pull it out by the roots. Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
I just wanted to kind of state what y'all are stating in another way. Maybe it'd be helpful. I was reading today in Romans, you know, just kind of going over justification by faith. And, you know, it kind of fits because we have to be justified by, you know, in our walk, no matter what. And that's the covering. That's believing we have a covering no matter what failures we have, no matter what sins we have not overcome. And you know, like Abraham, you know, he was talking about Abraham, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world and did not come through the law but through the righteousness of faith. So, and you know, he was circumcised after he already came into that faith, and that was the seal of his righteousness. But God had already considered him righteousness before that. So the cleansing is a seal of your faith. It's evidence of the faith that you've been walking in, and you've now been sealed let's just say in that part of your life where you're no longer, where that sin is no longer in your heart and it's been cleansed and it's no longer there and you have the nature of Christ, and from, you know, that from that time on you walk in that, and that nature doesn't change because you continue to walk in obedience. And so that's the seal of your circumcision of that part, that part of the flesh in your life, you know. And the covering is always there because we, you know, we're ignorant, and God keeps us on this faith walk as we continue to walk. There's so many things that we don't know that we sin, you know, where, you know, not to say that we hadn't read the word, but maybe we just haven't come to the realization, or God hadn't brought it to your attention that, hey, you know, this is an issue, because God doesn't, he doesn't give you everything at once, lest the beast of the field overtake you, like the Bible says. And, yep. And, you know, we go to our cross in every single one of these areas in our life, you know, and not only that, but God doesn't call everyone to the same fruit. You know, we're the end being that we bear fruit and come into his image, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. So we're not to look at others' walk and say, hey, you know, you're still doing this or that. I mean, you know, it would be great if everyone could come into 100-fold fruit, but God maybe does not require that of everyone. And that's why we're taught to give grace and of course pray for, you know, others where we see error or whatever, but not necessarily point it out to them, you know. And so that's just what I want to say.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, one thing that's really encouraged me in this area that we're talking about, you know, to add to the, you know, the covering, you know, what's being said about the covering. The thing of it is what the Lord has really impressed me with is that Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He was made perfect through the things which he suffered. And if we can realize, most Christians don't understand that God's intention is for us to be, even as Jesus was in this world, even so are we, complete, perfected. He wants us to overcome the flesh. He wants us to be without sin on this earth, not when we go to heaven. If people understand that we have the omnipotent God, all-powerful God, the Spirit of God that dwells in us, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the same power that Jesus had to overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's, we have the Lord within us, the power we have the Spirit of Christ, but we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we have that same powerful Spirit that Jesus had. And it's only by the power of that Spirit that he overcame, you know, but he was without sin. He was without the curse because he was without sin. And God wants us to be the same. And it's all by his grace. He did it all. Jesus said, it is finished. We just have to receive everything that he did and believe it. You know, that God wants us to be the same way. The Father wants many sons, not just one son, to walk the same walk that Jesus walked on this earth. You know, and that just so encourages me. That just gets me pumped up when I think about that. That I have the same powerful Spirit of the omnipotent God living in me, and I can overcome just like Jesus did. He went before us. Doesn't it say that in Hebrews? He went before us. He showed us the way. He showed us the way. He is the way. Amen. You know, it's just, okay, I'm getting myself wound up. But praise the Lord.
But it's that when I get to really thinking about it and talking about it, I just get so encouraged because it's the truth. It enlivens you and gives you hope and encourage and faith, you know? That's what gets me going. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. That's true. Let's see, when we understand that it's that God Himself has placed Himself inside of us. We're the temple of God. We are the temple of the most holy God. And when we get that realization, we'll walk that walk that He wants us to walk, because then we'll know the power and what the power is. It's that God in it. You get God in your fingernails, for goodness sake. You got God in your hair. You got God all over you. You're running after God with all your heart. That's what you got. And when you do that, guess what happens? There'd be signs and wonders following you around like a little puppy dog. That's the natural truth right there. That's the spiritual natural truth. Go ahead, Ryan.
Just following on to what Dave said, what we're talking about is, I've been reading this week a little bit in Galatians about the difference between a child and a son. And I'll read this little bit that says, for you are all sons of God through faith. So by faith we are sons of God in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Then in chapter 4 it says, but I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant. And though he is Lord of all, so he has the right to it all. He's a child living in the palace there, but heir to be the throne one day, but doesn't really have it all yet. But he's under guardians and stewards, which is probably that the covering as well you were talking about, until the day appointed of the Father. So when the Father, who's the King, says to the child, right now you're appointed to be, you were the heir, you were a child living in the palace, but now you've been appointed to be a son. So that's when you become a son. You heir to the throne then. So it says, because we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It was impossible for us to become Son of God until that happened. We now adopted into that. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that you are no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Howbeit at that time, not knowing God, you were in bondage to them that by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn you then back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? And that's the warning there. Even though you are a son of God by faith, but if you turn back to the rudiments, the weak and beggarly rudiments, where unto you desire to, then you are in bondage again. And later on, I won't read the whole bit, but it does say that the bondservant does not inherit the kingdom of God. And so there's a great responsibility that, yes, you're a child, you're under the covering, but you have to work towards earning that throne. You can't earn it because it's been given to you by grace through Christ. He's the one who's on the throne. And then later on in verse 28, it says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him after the spirit, so also it is now. Then this, howbeit that said the scripture, we must cast out the handmaid and the son. We must cast all of that out, the bondservants. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not the children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. For freedom that Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
earlier this week when I was feeling kind of pressed down a little bit because of a sin nature that was still creeping on me, but the Lord gave me victory over that again. But what he showed me also, which was really good, and what David was teaching, and this kind of falls in line with everybody else, and what we also will know about what's coming here, is one of the things that the Lord, there is in the scriptures, is the law, and we can be shown the law, and we'll see failure if we're looking at the law, because we'll see the sin. Sin nature is basically comparing yourself to the law where you're failing. That's where you failed, the law. And you can't fulfill the law by your own self. You're not going to do that. And so that's where the grace has to come in. The grace has to take over where your sin nature cannot overcome the law. It's not going to happen. So that's where the grace comes in to give you the power to overcome this law, this sin nature. But also, along with that, is not only do we know more about overcoming by grace and faith to the Lord, so because we're not no longer under the law, where we're going to be condemned, but you get that victory when you're not under the law, when his life blood comes in you and cleanses you and clean you up, then you can walk in this life. But he also gives you another way. He's going to give you, and there's the two other things that are going to happen with a good Christian. He's going to show you how to walk in his path. He's going to lead you down that path where the law can't do that. The law doesn't have that ability. That's why it fails. It says do this and you can't. With the law, when the Lord comes in, he leads you and he guides you down that path and he helps you walk that way. And the other thing is truth. The other thing that's going to be missing, and the other, that's what's going to happen in these end times. There's going to be a lot of truth that comes out in the scripture. And our job is to lay hold of the truth and not let go of the truth and not let it become part of us. And there's also going to be deception. There's going to be both of them, a lot of truth, a lot of deception. The deception is going to draw those away and they're going to fall away with the deception. So our job is to make sure we're holding on to the truth. And what I got here was earlier this week, which was really good, was Psalm 25. It speaks on some of that, and I'll read that. It's very good. He says, to you, Lord, do I lift up my soul, which we are doing. My God, I have trusted in you. Do not let me be shamed. We're looking back at ourselves and we're doing it, our sinful nature. It's our carnal man. Do not let me be shamed. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let Satan have his victory over me. Don't let him destroy me with my fleshly nature, because that's what he's trying to do, is draw me down, destroy me with my flesh. Yes, no one who waits for you shall be shamed. They shall be shamed who deal treacherously without a cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. That's what we need. That's what will draw us into new life. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Patience, endurance, running the race. Lord, remember your tender mercies, your loving kindness, for they are from old times. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, the covering, the cleansing. Remember me according to your loving kindness, your goodness, for goodness sake, Lord. Victory in Christ, the cross. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will instruct sinners in the way. He will guide the humble in justice. He will teach the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Don't let go of our new covenant. That's going to hold us in. We got that covenant with the Lord, our new covenant. For your name's sake, Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he who fears the Lord? He shall instruct him in the way that he shall choose. Fear the Lord, beginning of wisdom. His soul shall dwell in prosperity. His descendants shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net, the snare of the fowler. Turn to me and have mercy on me. I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. oh, bring me out of my distresses. It's the Lord who's going to save us. You know, keep our faith in the Lord and our eyes on the Lord. Consider my affliction and my travail. Forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. Boy, we've seen the world ramp up the hate, huh? Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be disappointed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and our uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you, Lord. Redeem Israel, God, from all his troubles. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
When Missy talked about, when she got worked up that way about the power of God and walking as Jesus, it reminded me of what someone said about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And in Luke 4, it begins where Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then in verse 14, after he has gone through all of those temptations and he overcame, then it says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And the person made the comment, you know, that it's, I think someone else said it as well, and I know David has said it as well. You know, you can be filled with the Spirit, but you still need to obey the Spirit. And the minute you start obeying the Spirit and really just believing that if he commanded something, he will give you the ability to do it and to walk it out, then you are starting to operate in the power of that Spirit. But there isn't a shortcut, you know, it's the temptations and the overcoming of that is going to give you that power.
Amen. That's good. This is good discussion. Anybody else? Andrew, I know you've got something. Nothing? You're completely blank. Okay, buddy.
I'm blank, but someone has to fill it up. Jesus has to fill it up.
All right. All right, anybody else?
Okay. I was just thinking about, you know, the sister talking about the wilderness. You know, we're all in the wilderness. We all have to go through that same working that the Lord put Jesus through, you know, the Holy Spirit put Jesus through. I remember when I first saw that, when he had to go in the wilderness, I started to realize that he, what he was doing was is our example. And that we need to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he overcame that, you know, and I think a lot of us are still overcoming it, those things. But if we don't stay filled in the Spirit, we're not going to be able to overcome it. And if we're not looking to him to help us, we won't overcome it. I was reading in Colossians today about how we need to, I'd like to read that. Colossians, beginning of Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, that you have for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It's like he didn't, you know, Jesus had to go through the wilderness before he had that, before he was endued with power from on high. And that's what we have to make sure that our flesh is, that our flesh self-life is dead. Then God can use us in a big, in a bigger way. That's what I was thinking of when the sister mentioned that about the wilderness. We all have to die to self. We're not, if that's not our focus, then how can we do it? In ourselves, we can't do it. We have to do it through him, staying in the spirit. Amen.
Amen. What you got, Judy? Oh, okay. I'm messing with you, girl. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I didn't thought you was blank.
Well,
Sue, you failed him up.
It does have to do with wilderness, you know. You think of Jesus's wilderness, and then you think of Moses having a wilderness. You know, there's a lot of people who went through this kind of wilderness idea. You know, the Jews were carried away to Egypt, and they were also carried away to Babylon. So Daniel had a wilderness, and so did his three friends. David had a wilderness when he had to go out into the wilderness. Joshua had a wilderness when he had to come in and take the land too. Joseph had a wilderness. He was put in prison, and he was betrayed by all his brothers, but there was reconciliation there. You know, Paul, the apostle, in prison, that was his wilderness. And, you know, I was just thinking of all the people we know that have gone through some sort of wilderness. And, you know, you can try and overlap them and compare them. But those similarities will be for our wilderness, too. And it just seems like God saved them all. Even Job, you know, there's another wilderness thing for Job there too. He was put out on the streets, body full of sores and stuff. So, I don't know. I think it's almost every book that you go to, and every apostle, you know, even like Stephen had his time there being martyred even. So you can even go to a book of martyrs now that I thought of Stephen there. I'm just working off the fly here. They get all those stories of those people that were in the wilderness and how many wildernesses you went through too in your life where you had to overcome things and you were given answers. Even very small answers, you know, like you have to find your keys or something. You know, you pray for the small things that you prayed for. I remember praying with my children when they were very small for a cat, you know. That may have been something really big for them to actually get an answer to that prayer. I even prayed, had some friends of mine when I went to my first golf tournament and I got the cup for closest to the hole on my very first work golf tournament. God cares even for a little tiny stuff like that. He cares for you. And you know, I did go out yesterday because it was a holiday up here in Canada on Monday. And my son took me out to a restaurant, first restaurant since the COVID thing. And it was just down the road. And he drove me there in the car that he uses off of my ex-wife. And we got down there. So we had some nice lunch, and came time to pay for it, and his Interact card wouldn't work, so I had to buy both lunches. And then we went to the fishing place, and I didn't want him to feel bad because he knows I don't have too much finances. And we picked up some fishing stuff, you know, just a lure, two lures and each, and a little plastic tackle box, extra thing if you wanted to go fishing. And I paid for mine, but I didn't pay for his. And I should have, because it's his birthday next weekend. But I wasn't thinking of that because I already got his card and everything for that. So, yeah, so what is your wilderness? You know, what really is your wilderness? You have a wilderness of all these items that you would like to see, loved ones saved, people here. These are the brethren, and, you know, you want to really see them to continue to grow and stuff wherever they're at. And I just finished reading Philippians, and Paul said he never arrived, but he always pushed forward to the high and upward calling in Christ Jesus. That's part of his wilderness. You know, so I just wrote writing down a lot of key words here on the discussion, you know, the to reach for Jesus Christ in us, the covering, the cleansing, by his word, of course, Ephesians 5:26. I know you all know that one. Filled with the Spirit of God, without sin, receiving to overcome in all things, faith that worketh love. I threw some of my own things in. And for we are his workmanship. When did his workmanship stop? It's not our workmanship, it's his. We're created in Christ Jesus. You know, and it still all comes back for his grace. So many times he tells us to ask, to seek, to knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will he give to you, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask? So I would say it has to be a refilling, not a filling again, you know, because you don't lose the Holy Spirit. You just need a refilling. And you look at the times where the apostles needed to be re-encouraged, even Paul, you know, that they despaired in one place there. And if Paul would despair, how much more would a, with all that he used to get, you know? I don't know, maybe that thorn in his side was bugging him a little bit too much that day. I don't know. And because that does happen. Happens to me anyway, and you just have to crank down and tough it out and say no. I like, I got all these, I don't know, I don't even know if I should show you my mess, but I don't know if you can see all my little notes on the wall. Keep them in my head. it's got to go from your head somehow to your heart. I know that discipleship starts in the head and it makes its way down to the heart, and you do it. And I think my voice is going because I got a speaker not working. So I'm going to just stop now because I don't think you can hear me.
Amen. Yeah, me and Theo would like to go fishing with you too. When's payday, brother? You gotta unmute, Andrew. You gotta unmute. I can't hear you, brother. I know you were rebuking that. Oh boy. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay, who's next? we can't hear you, Andrew. There, now.
Well, so. We took them for largemouth bass fishing. You know, you guys are mean. You got the best largemouth bass fishing in all the world, probably. And you didn't take Theo. Wasn't it Theo who came down from Alaska? Got to take him to Alabama and some of those lakes that I hear they're down there.
That was Leonid.
Oh, Leonid. Oh, okay.
Leonid.
Oh, wasn't he the one fishing one? No, it was. Okay, got you mixed up. Sorry.
As long as you talk about fishing, or Theo will listen.
Yeah, well, you know, Theo, you know, I don't know. Does your brother fish? Leonid's your brother, right?
Yeah, he's on here, I think.
Leonid's here. Okay. Whether he wants to show himself.
And he never took a fish. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Man, I went a few times with them in Alaska, so I don't know.
That's where all the big ones are, they say, but they're froze. All you got to do is go out there and chip them out of the ice.
If they're not really good, they must be fish sticks or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what they call fresh frozen fish? Fresh frozen fish?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord, for the fishing stories. Thank you, Lord.
Well, you know, there's got to be preaching in the fishing story, too, you know.
Yeah.
There is a fishing story in the Bible. I'm sure you guys know how to catch your gold.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Ooh, that's why when I get around a bunch of fishermen, I wait till the last one to tell my story. But you know, the first liar ain't got a chance. He don't have a chance because we can always get one bigger. You know, how big was yours? Yeah, well, y'all seen that knockoff? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, Judy's getting in on it. Now, look at that. She's got a big fish, too.
You guys are going to have to repent, all right?
I'm telling you. You're just sitting over there lying like a dog talking to the gano. You ought to have seen this knife caught. Man, it was about that big. Oh, my. I apologize, Judy. I'm picking on you tonight. I choose you tonight. So.
Now, I don't want to get off topic here, so get back on topic.
Too late. Too late. Oh, my. Praise God. Where were we anyway? Before we got off fishing stories.
We were talking about being holy, believe it or not.
We just shot that one out the basket, didn't we? Oh, my. Oh, Lord, we just repent of fishing story. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, he loves humor, too. What now?
Well, isn't that where Jesus found Peter and John, and they're out fishing?
Yeah. He showed them how to fish, didn't he?
Wait a minute, guys. Oh, wait a minute.
You got the wrong lure.
Put the net on the other side of the boat.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And he pulled up the net with 153 fishes, and he made a division for them. So there's some good stuff there, you know.
Yeah.
Great Commission of John, at the end of John, which a lot of people don't think is a Great Commission in that last chapter of John. And, you know, there was seven people there, too. Seven apostles.
There were seven fishing at the time?
All right. Go ahead, Angelica.
I counted them. Yeah, there was seven. I think they're a representation of something. Of rest and maybe the churches.
I go fishing again. I'm going to check all their mouths for a golden coin.
Oh, I got a story I can tell, but I ain't going to tell it. Go ahead, Angelica.
Sorry to bust up y'all's fishing expedition. I just wanted to ask for prayer, or just for anyone to keep me in prayer, just that the Lord would just set me with wisdom, and fear of the Lord, understanding, and to be stayed on Him and just be focused on Him and just, you know, a refreshing of His Holy Spirit and anoint my gifts, that my gifts would be perfected, and that He would give me the strength to minister in all the ways that He wants me to minister.
Amen. Lord, we just lift up Angelica, we lift up everybody. And Father, in the name of Jesus now, Lord, I ask that you fill each and every one of us up with your Holy Spirit, with the overcoming power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that your gifts be evident in every one of us at the time that it's needed, when the time that it's needed, Lord. And we know, Lord, that your power comes when you got believers together that are in one accord. I'm talking about believers who believe the word. They might talk the word, but who are walking that word. That's when the power of God comes. And Lord, I thank you for that, for Angelica and everybody here. And I ask and pray, Father, for your wisdom to walk this out, this sanctified life out, Lord, and the power to do it with your Holy Spirit. Because we know that when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with God Almighty in our very being. We are the tabernacle of the Most Holy God, and we have His wisdom at our beck and call. We have all the power that we need. He says we have all the blessings of heaven available to us. And Father, I thank you for that, and just place that in our heart to understand the wisdom and the power that's available to each and every one of us. And Lord, when we do run after you with all our hearts, we know that everything behind us, everything around us, is going to be taken care of, because that's what your word says. And you said your word is over and above anything you tell us. And I believe it, Lord. I believe your word. And it's the walking out part that sometimes we stumble on, Lord. But I know that you're gonna for each of those, each one of us here, Lord, that run after you, you're gonna give us everything that we need to do it. And show us too, Lord, how to do it. And we thank you for it. Father, I know that it's not all gonna come at one time, like someone mentioned earlier. It comes in stages, and Father, we thank you for doing that for each one of us. And I know once we do it, it's a quick road, it's a quick path, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here has already been filled with your Spirit, Lord. The powerful Spirit of God, the all-knowing Spirit of God. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that when we speak as an oracle of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all get it in a minute. Go ahead, Julie. I didn't see your hand up there, girl.
I want to get back to the fishing stories just briefly. I had a dream quite a few years ago now, but and it was about being in a kitchen, and it was all stainless steel, and there was this big pot of like chili on there on the burner, and there's all this cheese melting on top. And in the garage where all these cars lined up, and there was people walking in through the side door of the garage, and they were all excited to be there, and they were all talking amongst themselves and stuff, And I don't remember all the details of everything that dream, but when I woke up, I heard in the spirit, nets are doctrines. And I was thinking, well, the first thing that came to me is about the disciples in their boats when Jesus first came to them, and they were in the boats cleaning their nets or mending their nets. And so I was putting the connection, it's like, well, nets are doctrines, so that, you know, when Jesus called them, they were in the midst of cleaning up their doctrine, which is kind of what we, when we read the word, you know, where our doctrines have to be, you know, cleaned up. We want sound doctrine. We want to, you know, we only want sound doctrine. We only listen to sound doctrine, and teachers should be the only ones teaching and preaching sound doctrine. So it was kind of like how you catch fish, you know, is with the truth, with sound doctrine. And anyhow, that's kind of how I was, what I was thinking about when you guys were all talking about your fishing and all that stuff. That's what, that dream came back to my memory, and what the Lord spoke to me after I woke up about doctrines and nets, but that's what that meant. I don't know if anyone has any, can confirm that, or is that, you know, does that sound true to you? Does, or is that, you know, what are your thoughts?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, and I agree with you, Julie. And another thing that came to me is early on, when they were fishing, and, you know, the Lord was, you know, had just met them and told them to cast their nets out, and they got a great catch, and they got a great catch, but their nets were breaking. But in John, when that happened, they got a huge haul of 153 fish, and their nets didn't break.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it has to do with, like you say, the maturing of the doctrine in our lives, so that, you know, you're not losing any any of the fish that you're out there, you know, praying into the kingdom or witnessing into the kingdom, however the Lord uses you. And so anyway, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I just wanted to add that little bit about the broken nets when they, yeah, you know, were first coming to the Lord and walking with him, but after being with him and going through the crucifixion with him, their nets didn't break.
Yeah, and they had been out toiling all night in the dark, right? And that they said, at your word, we'll do it. And they did it. They threw their net in on the other side, and they brought in that haul. And Peter pulled that net ashore all by himself. I always thought, that always just, you know, when you meditate on that, it's like, how do you do that, you know? 153 fish, that's a lot.
I thought he jumped in.
Sound like a good fish fry to me.
What's that, Michael?
Nothing, I was just sitting here reflecting.
Fish frying? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Jot monotype, what does that mean?
Dominion over the fish of the sea.
Okay.
You were being given dominion over the fish. So you have a dominion.
Go ahead.
Maybe in parallel.
Go ahead, Angelica.
That reminds me of our YouTube channel. It's kind of we'd like to look at it like a fishing expedition, you know, we're fishers of men, and back to what Dave was talking about earlier, how, you know, what separates the people of God, you know, the water, you know, is the, you know, we're all, you know, the water of the word, and, you know, the, you know, the waters represent the peoples, and there's, you know, they're drowning in doctrine, you know, and the fishers of men are catching them in their nets. You know, that's what our videos are, you know. I mean, we're out there in a sea of videos, you know, and the Lord is directing them to those that need to be caught, you know, to be found. And there's, you know, there's a lack of true doctrine out there. And so there is going to be a great falling away, but there's going to be a great revival. And we just know that, you know, what the Lord's preparing the food, you know, our bait, you know, to put out there in the waters for the time to come when people are going to be so desperate and willing to listen, and all of the word's going to be there for them. And it's just going to be amazing. So I want to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We should pray for that, the YouTube channel, and pray for bringing in the fish.
Okay, Dave, go ahead, and we'll follow suit.
All right, everybody else can fill in. Father, thank you for the work Angelica and Eve are doing on this YouTube channel. It's turned out to be a lovely work for getting out the gospel, getting out the good news, perfecting people in Jesus. Father, we want this to be a shining light in the world. Let it draw all those that you have in mind. It drew me. UBM drew me by just their presence on the internet. So Lord, we want to make this even more of a draw for the rest of the world, for those who are looking for the truth in Christ, the truth in your good news, Father, in the image of Jesus, doing all these great works that you want to accomplish in these times. Lord, we're asking you to bless this channel, to continue to be, let this be fruitful and multiply, go out and just be a shining light into this world, this dark world, Father, and let it draw all those that are coming to YouTube, then, and even those that don't know about YouTube and this channel existence, draw them to that. Let them stumble on this like I stumbled on UBM, and let them get that curiosity, that yearning in their heart. Let it grow. Let them grab those videos and those audios and just sit there and listen and just open their hearts to your word, Father, and the truth that David teaches, and so Michael, and all those involved. And thank you to continue to bless Eve and Angelica. And we cast down any kind of demonic presence that might be coming against them in any way that are trying to hinder their progress in this work that they're doing. It's so fruitful. We ask you to put the angels around them for protection and not allow the enemy to come in any way to disrupt what they're doing or disrupt their lives, Father. We put an end to that right now. We put a stop on that. Any kind of word curse is coming against them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind them now. Any kind of witchcraft, we bind that. We cast it and turn around on them tenfold that are trying to do this. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Go ahead, Angelica.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for his prayers, the righteous prayer. I thank you so much, Lord. We receive it, Lord. And I also lift up to you, everyone. We have others who are coming on board, and we'll be teaching them this process, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, that it's your work, Lord God, and we can enter into rest about this, Father, that, you know, we're not all technical minded, Lord, but you can give us all things, Father God. You can give us wisdom, understanding, and patience, Lord, and insight and all these things, Lord. So we just thank you for doing that, Father. We thank you for blessing all the hands that work on these videos, Lord. There's many people involved, Lord, not just myself or Eve. And I just thank you, Father God, for blessing it, every single one and every single video, Father God, that your word will have recourse, Father God, and do a mighty work, Father God, out there in the sea, Father God, and catch those people that are yours, Father. And we're so thankful for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Angelica, did you want to kind of give us a little bit of a short knowledge-based thing about how this is affecting the videos and how it's drawing people to them quicker? I don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, sure. Just quickly. We've had a YouTube channel, I think, since 2018. And of course, you know, we've had just volunteers here and there. And so they've did the best that they knew how to do. And of course, you know, I just for myself, you know, and I'm sure a lot of you are like this too. You just kind of being spiritual people, we don't really want to do anything to do with all these social media things because it's just a time consuming kind of thing and you just don't want to learn it, you know, but anyway, so, here recently, I started working for the ministry, and I put my mind to work, you know, figure out YouTube and figure out why we're not, you know, having success to any, you know, great degree, because I think, obviously, I mean, it's my opinion, but it's like, this is amazing stuff. Why is it, you know, there should be, you know, lots of people just, you know, hungry for this stuff. And anyway, so just having done the research, we understood that our method of doing things was not really the method that is friendly to the YouTube algorithm. And so we just kind of had to rethink our entire process. And in doing that, we've learned a lot. And we're trying to basically revamp all of our videos, and we're seeing good success. And you know, we're not worried about the numbers, but we just kind of look at this YouTube platform as it's a beast system. But you know, we use this beast system because God owns everything, and we use it to, you know, to get our videos out there, and just. And know that the Lord will do the rest of the work. So long, you know, we do our part, and the Lord's just going to draw those that are His, just like He did with us. And so we just want to, you know, do the very best we can and work with different things. Like, you know, one issue maybe to pray about is the viewer engagement, because, you know, y'all know YouTube is notorious for making like 2-minute videos and 5-minute videos, and our videos are an hour, and so we're looking to edit our videos in the future and cut them down to, you know, series and things of that nature, and to kind of bump up our retention in as far as the watch time is concerned. But anyway, I just feel like the people of God that are truly hungry and want to be Bereans, they're going to listen through and through and listen over and over, you know. So I just pray and believe for that. And so that's just kind of in a nutshell what we're doing.
Amen. Well, it's a lot of work, and we're fixing to, I think I'm fixing to train a bunch of more people here shortly, and not to give out a whole lot of information. But Lord, I just want to pray one thing. Lord, I thank you for your hedge of protection, your wall of fire around each one of these video people. And all of the people that are working to get this message out. And Lord, we thank you for your complete protection with your warrior angels round about each one of them. And we praise you for it, Father. We ask that you bless their equipment, bless their communications, and bless everything about what they're doing for you, Lord. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep. Let us work up in the morning supernaturally supercharged with energy from the Lord above, because we know we are a tabernacle of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. It's been fun.
Oh, did you already mention communion?